Upgradable laptops. Bard is out, and Pebbles return. This is episode 33, recorded March 24th, 2023. It's time for last week's tech. Hello, this is last week's tech, the show that's all about last week's technology news, anything that has a microchip in it, or maybe not even have a microchip in it, just a tech company that sells non-microchip related tech. Is that possible? I'm sure it is. On to the news. So it's a very interesting week with technology news. I actually... So my routine when I grab the news for the show is I will every day, every morning, well, almost every morning, scour the internet for information. And this week it was a little stranger because the first day I started on Sunday and I was able to get a good amount of information, but then it was pretty quiet most of the week. No, like a story here, a story there, but it did take a while to get things going this week with technology. So the first story we have is Amazon and an AI browser. So Amazon does a lot of different things already. The company has sent a survey out to users asking detailed questions, including a question, which is, can we convince you to buy and try a new desktop laptop browser from Amazon? The most telling question is the last question, which is, imagine that there is a new desktop laptop browser from Amazon available to you. So interesting. So users were asked to rate importance of features, including text-to-speech extensions, the availability of sync data across desktop and mobile devices, and, more importantly, blocking third-party cookies. That was kind of interesting. Amazon seems to be seriously considering the web browser of its own, and it comes at a time when it has an unusual impact on advertising business. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Another browser to the party, right? We have Chrome, we have Firefox, we have Edge. And there's obviously a bunch of other ones out in the background there, too. But those are the primary three. And Google is doing this Google thing, which is getting people to potentially look at going to a different browser. What some of the tactics they have announced or said they have announced over the past couple of years now recently. So we'll see what happens on the front of Chrome. I've used Chrome for many years now, but if they do some of the things, I'm not going to mention them, but if they do some of the things that potentially could come, it might require me to jump ship to Firefox. I don't think I'd go to Edge. I'm not an Edge type of guy, I don't think. Radioactive water leaked. A leak of 400,000 gallons of radioactive water from Xcel's Energy and Monticello nuclear power plant. Xcel says it took great swift action to contain the leak to the plant site. It poses no health risks or safety risks to the local community or the environment. The company said it notified the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the state on November 22nd, the day after it confirmed the leak, which came from a pipe between two buildings. So this news actually, so November 22nd, I'm reporting it March 24th. Interesting. Very interesting. Acer, the laptop, and they do other things, tablets. Do they make a computer? I'm not quite sure. They are making an electric bike that has AI. That's right. You heard it here, folks. The lightweight 35-pound e-bike features built-in AI designed to predictively control the transmission and make use of collision detection sensors for a safe drive. or ride, I guess it'd be. It automatically locks your bike when you leave and unlocks it when you are nearby. Tracking capabilities are built into the bike to help keep tabs on it 24/7. If the bike is ever stolen, it can be locked remotely and tracked using a built-in GPS locator. It has a 460, watts? I'm not quite sure, electric bicycle battery. Let it set off a range of up to 68 miles per charge. Top speed of 15 miles per hour. There's no hand throttle, which means riders will have to rely on pedal assist that is activated when the rider spins the pedals. So this is really cool. Like, this is a technology e-bike right here. So I'm interested in the cost of this guy. This is really, really cool. This is what taking a really neat feature of like an e-bike itself that has technology, of course, built into it, but then going a whole step further and adding in that AI stuff. So this is really cool. I'm very interested. I'll keep an eye on it myself. I currently work about less than 2 miles from where I live. So if this Acer bike is a good price, you know, maybe I'll get one. Maybe I'll get one. IKEA stocking counting drones. The company says they're zipping around 16 locations across Belgium and Germany, Italy, and Netherlands. The Swedish furniture giant says the drone helps improve the accuracy of product availability. The drones work by taking off from a charging station and then going to each pallet in the warehouse to capture images, videos, and 3D depth scans of the items. Once the job is done, the drones return to the charging station to download the collected data. The drones not only count inventory, but also help employees determine if something's missing or in the wrong spot. So kind of cool. Really cool. You know, there's the drones in like Amazon warehouses that move things around, but this is accounting. This is an inventory drone. And for someone like me who's been in retail forever, this could be very useful. Very useful. It's not going to replace jobs. It's going to replace tasks, right? Not the people of the jobs itself, because you still need, when it comes to inventory, you still need to have a person involved with it, at least at this point. Europeans right to repair for 10 years. One provision will require companies selling consumer goods in the EU to offer repairs free of charge within a legal guaranteed period, unless it would be cheaper to replace a damaged item. Under the new post-guarantee period rule, companies that produce goods the EU defines as subject to repairability requirements are obligated to repair such items for 5 to 10 years after purchases if a customer demands so, and the repair is possible. So that's interesting. So they're saying they're trying to reduce waste, and they're trying to get people, companies to produce higher quality products. I'm all for this. I am all for this. It seems like you hear it all the time. You go anywhere, and it's like, oh, well, it's made in China, or it's just cheap plastic, or, you know, whatever. And that's what's come to this world is, yeah, there have been a drop in price of a lot of things. For example, televisions, LCD TVs. Remember when those first came out and they were crazy expensive? I remember I could afford, it was a, what size was it? It was, I think it was like a 16 inch or something. It was tiny. It might have been smaller, actually. It might have been 14 inch. But anyways, a super tiny flat screen LCD a TV. And that little thing cost like $600. $600. And now today you can buy a TLC, you know, which is now, it's a good brand. When it first came out, you know, it was known as the cheaper brand. But TLC is now like TCL? What is it? TC, I think it's TCL. TLC's channel, TCL. Now it's actually a good brand, and it's high. It's pretty good quality for the price. Like, I have a 50 whatever inch, and I think I paid like $400 for it. You know, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but, you know, for that price range, you get a good product. But there are a lot of things that still are, you know, it for that price could it be better quality? You know, yeah, the bass could be better quality for sure. So there's things that they do to take shortcuts. But so this would be neat. This would be interesting to see how this all plays out and if it goes, you know, throughout the entire world. Ah, the Pebble. The Pebble phone. Yeah, there's been rumors about a Pebble phone, a Pebble comeback for quite a while. I personally was a huge Pebble fan, the Pebble Watch. And who bought them? Fitbit bought them and did nothing with them. And the thing that was special about the Pebble is there was a black and white version. You know, these are smartwatches, either kind of the original OG smartwatches. And they're really cheap. Really, really cheap. Like the black and white was like $100. I think the color one was $150. And you get the basic stuff, notifications, call was coming, I think calendar announcements, very, very basic stuff. But the battery life lasted, you know, for like 3 weeks or something. It was something insane. The color one lasted like 2 weeks. You know, Fitbit does a pretty good job. Their watches, their battery watch, what, 3-4 days, something like that. But I do love the Pebble. It was good for a smartwatch. The small Android phone team, it's not its company name at this time, has been doing a lot of planning right under our noses. In a Discord, they've quietly revealed their efforts to source a display, choose a chip, design the body of a phone. They've even discussed how much people would pay for it. Diehard small phone enthusiasts are invited to give feedback at every step of the process as the team attempts to bend the phone market to their will. So if Pebble can do something like this, it'd be kind of cool, right? I'd be on board for this. Nice little small phone. Google's Bard. The company granted tens of thousands of users access to the bot in a rollout that started on Tuesday. Google says that people will use the chatbot will be available online and as a mobile app for things like generating ideas. You can ask Bard, how do I keep my plants alive? Researching ideas in combination with search and drafting first drafts of letters, invitations, or proposals. Google originally announced Bard in February alongside some generative AI search features. On March 14th, it announced it will be integrating these features into apps across their workplace suite. So I've tried it. I've tried the Bard. It's cool. It's, you know, it's open AI. It doesn't have all the features currently. But it's neat. It's, for example, with OpenAI, I was able to make little stories just for fun. One of them was about the D&D group I'm in, and it was just tell me a story about our group. And both OpenAI, ChatGPT, and Bard made great stories. You know, both very different from each other, but very good stories. Upgradable laptop from Framework. I've never heard of Framework before, but this wouldn't be the first time there's an upgradable laptop. Alienware from Dell, one time, had a laptop that you could upgrade, the GPU, and it didn't sell well. Now, granted, it was right before the pandemic, I believe, and there were supply issues with their GPUs. So eventually scrapped the idea. The idea was really, really cool. The laptop was super thick, of course, crazy thick. And the price to get the GPU, these custom GPUs from Dell Alienware, were incredibly expensive compared to, you know, a desktop version. And it makes sense because it's a proprietary, it's a special one built just for them or by them. So it makes sense, but the cost factor, I think, was one of the things that drove people away, along with the availability of some of those features for diehard fans. I myself was looking at getting one because I was upgrading a laptop every year, it seemed like. But I couldn't get my hands on one because of the cost of the unit at one point. And then I was reading your stories about the lack thereof upgrades you can get for it. But Framework has developed Let's start this again. Framework has delivered on a promise of its original 13-inch laptop. Three product generations in, the company has made a respectable competitor to the Dell XPS or Mac Air. That can be repaired, modified, and upgraded, and owners of the original laptop can easily give themselves a significant boost by upgrading to the 13th generation Intel or Riser-based boards, the company announced on Thursday. Framework is now looking to build on that track record with an all-new Framework Laptop 16. It's a larger screen model that can fit more powerful processors, dedicated GPUs, and a range of different keyboard modules, all with the same commitment to repairability and upgradability seen in the original Framework Laptop. So this is cool. Like, I am all for these module-based items. You know, we're seeing Google and other companies, Nokia, working on phones that can be upgradable or upgraded. So laptops would be cool. Be cool if you a television. Obviously, you can't upgrade your screen. But, for example, the TCL I have has Roku. Be cool if you can upgrade Roku to it without having to buy an actual USB and then plugging in and then going through that. That'd be kind of cool. I'm not quite sure what else you can actually upgrade on a TV, but bad example, probably bad example. And the final story we have tonight, or today, it's not tonight, it's actually morning for me right now. You know, so I, the last episode, I always say I end the episodes on a bad story, a terrible story, right? But I'm not. This episode is ending on a great story, potentially, if this comes to reality. The story is called Click to Cancel. The FTC said the Click to Cancel rule would require sellers to make it easy for consumers to cancel their enrollment as it was to sign up, and go a long way to rescuing consumers from seemingly never-ending struggles to cancel unwanted subscription payment plans for everything from cosmetics to newspapers to gym memberships. So this would be really, really cool. The proposal states that if consumers can sign up for subscriptions online, they should be able to cancel online with the same number of steps. If consumers open an account over the phone, they should be able to cancel it over the phone without endless delays, said the FTC. So this is really interesting, because now I've had two experiences personally myself, two, and I'm sure there's many more, but I don't sign up for a lot of stuff. The first would be with Sirius XM. With them, you can sign up online, but you can't cancel online. Nope. Actually, three. I take it back. I have three, count them, situations. So Sirius XM. The second is OnStar with my car. With OnStar, you can sign up online, but you can't cancel. You can even upgrade your services online, add new features to your plan online. But you cannot cancel online. You have to call someone. And finally, the last one was, this one really ticked me off, was DirecTV, AT&T, what's it called? DirecTV's streaming cable channel thing, you know, like Sling or Hulu Live, AT&T's, DirecTV's version. That one, you can sign up online. Now, you can kind of technically cancel online, because you can chat with someone. But you cannot just click a button and say, cancel my membership. You have to actually chat with someone, tell them why, and then they try to convince you to stay by giving you discounts or a free month. And then you have to call back several, you know, months later to cancel again, if you remember. So this would be cool. I'd be all excited for this to happen. Because if you can cancel online, you should be able to cancel. If you can start up online, you should be able to cancel online. But that is our episode of last week's Tech. Appreciate you listening to it as always, and we will see you on the next episode. Take care.